We are starting the Maharal's Ner Mitzvah. He opens up Ner Mitzvah, which has two parts. There's two parts of Ner Mitzvah. The first part deals basically exclusively with the Dal of Galiot. The Dal of Galiot are the four stages of exile. We'll go through them in depth over a lot of pages. And part two then is directly about Hanukkah, and the two halves of this form are obviously linked, not necessarily in an overt way, but there's reason why he put them together and all the things that Hanukkah has to do with overcoming Galut. In order to start off part one, which is about the Dal of Galiot, he quotes a very dense, complicated, and Aramaic section of Daniel. So we're going to read the Aramaic and translate, and then he's going to also unpack it for us. Okay? Cool? Okay. Let's just use it straight from here. From Pasuk Bet. From Daniel Perek Zayin, Pasuk Bet. Chazi Habet Bechevzve Im Lelia. I saw a vision at night, and behold, Varu, Arba Ruche Shmaya. The four winds of heaven were stirring the great sea. Ruche Shmaya Migichan Liyama Rava. The Arba Chivan Rav Rivan Salka Minyama. Four immense beasts came up from the sea. Shanyan Da Minda. Each different from the other. So there are four of these beasts that are emerging. Each one of them is going to be representative in some way of one of the four exiles. And they're each different, meaning all of our experiences in each exile are going to be inherently different. That's why they have different, in this vision, physical characteristics and traits, and also in terms of their spiritual roots, essences, their impacts on the world are all going to be different.
This took place between 2 and 3?
Excuse me?
This took place between Galus 2 and 3?
What took place?
This. And Daniel?
Daniel. It took place between 1...
4 paras, right?
Yeah, so that's what Prasad Malay is the second one. So between,
right, between
1 and 2.
Right.
Yeah. Kadmaita ke arye, vigafin dinishar la, chazi havet ad di maritu, gafa unetilat min ara, v'al raglayin ke enash, hakimat ulevav enash yahiv la. The first was like a lion, it had an eagle's wings. I was watching as its wings were plucked, and it was removed from the earth and stood upon 2 feet like a man, and it was given a human heart. That's Galut number 1. Va'aru Cheva Achari Tinyana Damya Ledov. Then behold, another beast, the second one, similar to a bear. V'lishtar Chad Hakimat Utlat Il'in Befuma Bein Shina. It was placed on one side, and there were 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. V'chein amrin la kumi achuli bisar sagi. This is what they said to it: arise, devour much flesh. Animal number 2, galut number 2. Batar dina chaze havet v'aru achari kinmar. After this, I was watching, and behold, another beast like a leopard. Vila gapin arba dioth, with four birds' wings on its back. Agaba, the arba reishin lechevta, vishaltan yehiv la. The beast had 4 heads, and it was given dominion. Number 3. Yeah, I mean, this is Daniel. And we'll come back to them over the course of the Sefer. Batar dina chaze havet bechezve lelia. After this, I was watching in night visions. The aru cheva rivi'a. And behold, a 4th beast. Dechila ve'emtani ve'takifa yatira. Exceedingly terrifying, awesome, and strong. Right, it gets a new introduction. It's somehow separate from the other ones. And it's, meaning, after this I was watching in night visions, meaning the whole thing was a vision, so why is this in a different vision? Interesting. It comes in a separate vision, and there's an emphasis on it being exceedingly terrifying, awesome, and strong. Vishanin di farzel la, rav rivan, achla umadka, and immense iron teeth, and it was devouring and crumbling, umadkan trampling, usha'ara biragla rafsa, trembling with its feet, what remained? V'hi meshanya min kol chevata di kadama v'karnayin asar la. It was different from all the beasts that had preceded it, and it had 10 horns. Everybody clear on what all of the four Goliot are?
Yeah.
Right. But there's clearly four. Right? At the very least, we can walk away knowing that there were four of them. They emerged from the sea. They don't seem to be particularly friendly animals. They seem to be these terrifying creatures which embody, with all of the very distinct characteristics, distinct physical traits that they have, are all an embodiment on a physical level of the spiritual uniqueness of each galut. And classic of the Maharal, he's always going to work off Pesukim, Chazal, Midrashim. He's always going to be working off of text. He's never going to say anything in a vacuum, so he's going to start unpacking the four Goliot. This is going to be one of the many sources that he reveals to us that are hinting to the four Goliot, the four stages of exile.
So Daniel says that the Goliot represent animals.
No, Daniel had a vision of four terrifying animals that came to attack.
Which represent
one of the explanations of what are always multifaceted Nivuot is that this is an expression of each one of the Delot Goliot.
Okay.
Okay, let's get into it. V'ish lish ol. Right, that should just be the whole sentence. Right? I have lots of questions. V'ish lish ol. One can ask. Ki elu dalid malchuyot she'amid hashemi brach bolamo. The four galiyot, the four stages of exile that a Kadosh Baruch Hu put in his world. In safek shlohayu kaf mikra. This can't be by happenstance. Nothing in this world happens accidentally. Rak ki kach mechayev seder olamo. This must be obligatory, this must be necessary in the way that the world is organized by God. It's part of the order of the world itself. V'im came, but if this is true, lama hayaze shiyu arba'a malchuyot davka. That's also a classic kind of question of the Maharal. Meaning, if we say it's necessary that they were, then the question is, why are they necessary? And also, the Maharal is always very specific on numbers. Every number, like everything in Judaism, is soaked with meaning. So the question is, from last semester, right, we talked about that at length. So the question is, why four? Why specifically four? Okay? V'inei timsa, ki b'sha'a shebara Hashem yibarach et olamo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Ramaz HaKatuv Elu Dalad Malchiyot. These are actually hinted to, according to the Medrash Rabbah, at the very beginning of creation itself, which sees that it's embedded into creation. It's not just, if it happened, it must have been always part of the plan. According to this Medrash, it's going to be part of the opening Psukim of Bereshis, the very embedded into the actual act of creation itself. The arts aita to vavohu v'choshech al panei tahom. The land was tohu and bohu, and there was darkness on the surface of the deep. Complete emptiness, utter emptiness. You could pick whatever English translation you like. There's no great translation of those words. But that emptiness, that space, that darkness, that somehow represents the four galiot being embedded within creation itself, and the Medrash itself explains. Reish Lakish patach, kra b'malchiyot. This is talking about the Dalad Malchiyot. How so? The arts haita tohu. The land was tohu. Zo machut bavel. This is the first of our Dalad Malchiyot. We're naming them. The first one is Bavel. Shne emar. Reit yetza aretz v'hine tohu. I saw the land and it was tohu. Bohu, the second word. That's the second galus. Zo machut madai. That's the Persian Median exile. Which is Pras Umadai, by the way? Which story is linked to Pras Umadai?
Purim.
The story of Purim is the response to Pras Umadai.
We got it based on the pasuk.
Shene emar vayavhilu lehavi et Haman. So it uses the word that's similar to Bohu in terms of the coming of Haman, thus indicating a connection between Bohu, Haman, and Haman is Pras Umadai, so that's the second galus of Pras Umadai.
The first Malchios is the Haaretz Haitato, not just it's those three words.
I always understood it to mean just Tohu, but you make a valid point. I don't know if it's quoting the entirety of the beginning of the pasuk up until that word to get to that word or not. I would need to think about it more, but it's a great question.
What does Bohu mean?
Bohu. Desolation, emptiness. I don't know. I mean, again, pick your English word. It's not a...
Not meaning the positive way.
I think in art school it uses astonishingly empty, which is not two words at all. It's just an emphasis on them both as kind of one word. So it's not a simply translatable word.
You don't mean the pasuk vayavi
Ah, I'd have to. We can look it up right here. We can look up it as long as we're using Archibald's translation, like astonishingly empty. What is Esther Vav Yudalin? I'll tell you what. So it's Rabbi Scroll Shlita. That was Esther. There we go. Vav Zayin. I think that they hurried to bring him in. It's Vav Zayin, right?
Yudalad.
Vav Yudalad. There we go. They hurried to bring Haman to the banquet. Yeah, hurried. I learned a thing or two along the way. Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't the Gemara talk about, like, that was like Daniel? Gemara saying who was this person that kept on fetching between the two?
That would be really awesome if it was.
I wanted to
double check on that. That would be fantastic. V'choshech, and this is what's most relevant to our sefer in terms of it being a Hanukkah sefer and dealing with the gullus of Yavan, which is the third gullus. Choshech, darkness. I think we can safely translate choshech as darkness for the moment. Yes. Choshech zo malchut Yavan. This is Greece. Shehecheshecha enehen shel Yisrael bigzerotehen, that darkened the eyes of Israel with their decrees. Shita omeret lahem, that they said to them, whatever this phrase means, we're going to unpack it over the course of the sefer. We're not going to deal with it explicitly now. Kidvu al keren hashur, write on the horn of the ox, she'ein lachem chelek be'elokei Yisrael, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. Why a horn? Why an ox? Why that phrase? Tzarech iyun. Al pnei tehom is our fourth and final galus, across the surface of the deep. Zo malchut harisha'a. This is the evil malchus, understood to be Edom, the malchus of Edom, which we are still currently in. She'ein lacheker kemo hatahom, that it has no understanding, meaning it's endless like the deep. Ma hatahom hazeh ein lo cheker, just like it has no grasp because it's so large and so vast and so deep. Afarisha'im kin, so too are the evil people, so too is Edom.
That's not promising.
Well, we've been in it for 2,000 years, so it's long and deep and complicated. The Ruach Elokim Rachefet, the Spirit of God is hovering. Zo Rucho Shel Melech HaMashiach, the response to the Malchiyot, the end of the Malchiyot is when Melech HaMashiach comes. Heach Ma De'at Amar, V'nacha Alav Ruach Hashem, when the Ruach Hashem comes and rests upon him. So that's an indication of Ruach Elokim Rachefet. That's an indication of Mashiach. Ve'ez eschut mimash meshet uva'a. With what merit is Mashiach going to come? Mirachefet al pnei ha'mayim. What's ma'im in that verse? So very relevant to the time that we're in Elul. Bischut ha'tshuva shnim shela kamayim. In the schut of ma'im, in the schut of tshuva, which comes like ma'im, which comes like water, it flows like water. That's how we're going to bring about Mashiach. Shne'emar shifchi kamayim libech. To pour your heart out like ma'im in tshuva, and that's what will bring about Yimot HaMashiach. V'hine timsa. That we see from this medrash that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Sider Elu Dalad Malchiyot, he organized these Dalad Malchiyot, he embedded them into the fabric of creation. They are not secondary, they are not reactionary. They're embedded into the very fabric of creation itself.
In the Bria, there's going to be a Dalad, you know.
Assumably, that raises other philosophical and theological questions that we're not going to address. But yes, he embedded them into the fabric of creation itself.
What's the point of bringing that thing about water? Talking about merachefet, is his point now?
Merachefet al pnei hamay, meaning it's hovering over the water, meaning it's the medrash is being dorish that it's dependent upon the water, which is tshuva. The ability for the Ruach Elokim Merachefet, the ability for the coming of Mashiach is dependent on the mayim, is dependent upon tshuva.
It's the shifrik mayim libech.
Correct.
Tshuva. I like
that. Correct. V'im kein, yish lish'ol, one needs to ask, al maze, for what purpose? V'lama ze seder Hashem be'olamo sh'yu dalad malchiyot. Why is he organizing into the world four kingdoms, four malchiyot? U've'or ze, an explanation of this. Ki ra'ui shiye nirmazim elu dalad malchuyot bereshit ha-briya. It's proper for these four malchuyot to be hinted to at the beginning of the Briya. It's actually proper in relation to creation. How so? Ki elu dalad malchuyot shem moshlim ba'olam. These four kingdoms which rule in the world. Lo hayu rak bishvil ki efshar shiye ha'olam. Shu ha'alul min Hashem itbarach. Shiyeh ha'alul hazeh belo chisaron, rak nimsa imo chisaron. That is the type of complicated syntactical gymnastics that you have to get used to when reading the Maharal. There were a lot. There was like two or three or four negatives in that one sentence, right? So it's just a style that you get used to. Ki ilu dalad malchiot shem moshlim ba'olam. These four malchiot lo hayu rak bishvil ki efshar, are only because it's impossible. Shiyeh ha'olam, that the world could be shu halul min Hashem yitbarach, which was created, which emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of it. Shiyeh ha'alul hazeh, that this creation, that this emanation, that this which was created by God. Hazeh below chisaron, it had to have some level of chisaron. It had to have some level of lacking. Rather, it must be nimtzayim o chisaron. That was undoing the negatives. Rather, it must be so that it has a chisaron. It's impossible that it could have been created without a chisaron. Rather, it needed a chisaron.
Isn't saying it without a chisaron denying that God is perfect?
He's going to address that explicitly. That's the theological question we won't let sit.
Okay.
This lacking, this inherent lacking in any created thing, is manifest by the Dalad Malchiot, through the Dalad Malchiot in the creation of the world. They reduce God's glory in the world. We'll unpack what he doesn't unpack more explicitly or more at length after we see the paragraph. Okay? The kasher nivra ha'olam min Hashem yitbarach, when the world was created by God, haya ra'ui shiyeh hakol tachat reshut Hashem yitbarach. It was proper that everything be under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion. Ki Hashem yitbarach bara hakol. The Creator should have full dominion over everything that the Creator creates. Ulekach, therefore, Hakol ra'oi shiyeh nivra lichvodo. It's proper that everything in creation should only be for God's glory. Should only be a reflection of the glory of the Creator. When one creates, that's what should be created. Everything that happens is my handiwork. So it should reflect my glory and what I was able to create. It's the product of everything that I worked to produce. Aval kasher nimsa mimenu habriya. Here means, nimsa means caused to exist. When, like, existed as a verb, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed the world, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the world to exist, Efshar shiyeh b'lo chisaron, it's impossible that it not have been without a lacking. Now, in response to your question, Ilan, the ein davar zeh min Hashem yitbarach, but this lacking doesn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chas v'shalom. There's no lacking in God or in His creative capacity. There's an inherent lacking in all created things. That's natural to anything as a created thing. Ki ein ha-he'edar v'chisaron mi-pi'ulat po'el klal. The lacking in this case is not from any active action of the Creator. Aval ha-chisaron hu-mitzad chisaron ha'olam shu'alul. The lacking is in the created thing, in that it is a created thing. U'mizeh Imashech hachisaron. That's what the lacking extends from. Shayu hamalchiyot moshlim ba'olam, that these four kingdoms rule in the world. Ve'im yotzim min kavod Hashem yibrach, and they take away from the kavod of Hashem.
So it's like us, basically. Like if you said that we didn't create anything, He never created anything of chisaron. We're always gonna like sin and do something bad that. Isn't it the same thing?
Explain a little further.
Because we're saying that Hashem doesn't create anything the chisaron.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, like, once He creates it, that's if the chisaron stems from that thing on its own. It's not rooted in Hashem.
Correct. I think the...
So us,
Mm-hmm.
We're created also complete, but it's on us to sin and...
Human beings are a little bit more complicated. I don't want to get into human beings.
He's saying that everything is made in Hashem's kavod. Everything is made for Hashem.
Everything should only reflect Hashem's kavod if He created it. However, that is not the case with the Dalet Malchiyot. The Dalet Malchiyot are symptomatic of the fact that since the world is a creation, it must be lacking. Why does a creation have to be lacking?
It's not God.
Correct.
I mean, that's what you're saying. By definition, as a creation, it is going to be lacking because it itself is not God. Once something is created, even though it was created without it,
the only pure,
it is a creation.
The only pure and complete perfection is God, like Ariel said. The only pure, the only perfect, the only true perfection belongs to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, once something is created, let's even look at it on a just strictly logical level, on the simplest of levels, right? God is perfect. He's infinite. He's infinite perfection. When I create something, even if I create something perfect, what does it have? What happens when I create it? It starts. It begins. It has a point of origin. That means that even if I create something perfect and infinite, it still has a point of creation, which makes it inherently limited or finite. Even on that simple level itself, nothing. Even if God were to create something like that, even if God could or could not create something like that, it doesn't matter. By definition, a created thing is limited in that it is created. God wasn't created, God always existed. God does not have a source. The fact that something has a source, the fact that something needed something to create it, the fact that something was created at a particular time, in a particular way, that's indicative of an intrinsic lacking. And so that lacking needs to manifest now. If God creates the perfect creation, it's not God's fault that it was created. It's intrinsically defective in that it needed to be created. That's not the creator's fault.
And it was intrinsically defective.
Because it needed to be created by an external force.
Not that it's defective, but it's imperfect.
I'll take that. That's good.
But God can't create something that's perfect?
God can't create God. That's a tough theological reality.
That's philosophy.
Right.
Play on words. It's a ridiculous question.
It's not a ridiculous question.
It's in that the wording makes it more complicated than it is.
Correct. God definitionally is uncreated, meaning He always existed before. What didn't come from anything else. He's not a created thing. He's not limited. He's not finite. So there's no way to. It's a paradox. You can't.
You're saying that God created something which is lacking.
So the way that
by definition, that's making. Like think, I was saying before. That's
think the example. I think the example that Rav Hartman in this edition gives, because I don't think it's in the text, and I remember it very clearly from when I learned it last time. He says that, you know, like I just went over this yesterday. I forget if it was on the bottom or the top. That if somebody's like sewing a piece of clothing, and there's no button on it, it's not a lacking in the creator that the button's not there. It's not like, meaning there was nothing defective in the work of the creator. It's lacking a button, but it's not defective work. It's not defective creativity. It's just that it wasn't able to reach a certain level of completion. The world is as perfect as a created thing can be, but God is not undoing the fact that created things are inherently lacking in that they are created.
And what does the Dalet Malchiyot have to do with anything now? That's the name.
Whoa.
No, he said already. Because something's imperfect doesn't mean it shouldn't reflect the Kadosh Baruch Hu's covenant. But he's saying specifically that these four Malchiyot are the antithesis of.
They are a reflection of an inherent lacking in creation. If creation is designed to reflect God's glory, then the imperfection reflects the opposite, and thus the imperfection reflects anti-God's glory, which is the Dalet Malchiyot.
And the other way around, everything in the world is created for, and even the lacking is created for God's glory.
That's an interesting, deeper point. We're going to stick with as far as the Maharal takes us. But you're not wrong.
Again, I'm sorry. The Dalet Malchiyot is... Can we say that's just a measure, or that's when we refer to the aspect of creation that's not perfect, that takes on the form of that, or that's
it is a physical manifestation of the spiritual essence of a created thing being intrinsically imperfect, of creation being intrinsically imperfect as creation.
Is it possible to have creation without Dalet Malchiyot before?
He's saying not. He's saying it.
So because creation is inherently imperfect,
that was all the double negatives.
Dalamafios needs to be. That's what he meant.
Therefore, there needs to be something. Therefore, anything created cannot be perfect.
So it's a result. The dalamafios are a result of a physical thing being created.
Not necessarily physical.
No.
The dalamafios
create a creation.
It was going to be imperfect.
Mean that it's imperfect. Therefore, there must be a dalamafios which. I don't know if it fills
I'm just,
the gap.
I'm just trying to stem the fact that you keep on jumping to the Dalai Malchiyot. Because God created, there needed to be some lacking. That lacking happened to manifest as the Dalai Malchiyot, meaning every creation has a lacking in that it's created, but it's unique lacking, meaning the lacking in the example you gave of somebody sewing a suit could be a lack of a button. So the button is reflective of the lack on that suit.
So that button would be what we call Dalai Malchiyot?
The lacking, meaning when God created the world,
you're saying it manifests itself in the Dalet Malchiyot,
right? In relation to the very specific creation of the world, it didn't need a Dalet Malchiyot, but Dalet Malchiyot is a direct result or direct reflection of the intrinsic lacking as it relates to creation.
So you're saying there's no way to separate a Dalet Malchiyot and a creation.
Meaning creation of reality.
Correct.
Yes.
You need. It's impossible. It's impossible to make a creation without some type of
lacking,
which represents that lackingness.
I just want to keep taking one step back. Without some type of lacking, which in this case reflects itself as Dalet Malchiyot.
I understand.
I don't want to jump that step. It's not like anytime you create their Dalet Malchiyot.
We're giving the right. We're calling it the Dalet Malchiyot. Okay.
It's manifesting as the Dalet Malchiyot. The lack is definitive. How it manifests in any particular case is unique, and in this case, it's the Dalet Malchiyot.
Okay.
That's why I kept on backtracking. I just want to jump that step.
Yes.
Okay. Still got a few more minutes. No biggie. We're good. Okay, let's see if we can get through the next, at least the next paragraph. Good. V'davar zeh ra'oi she'yeh nirmaz b'tchilat b'ra. Therefore, this needs to be hinted to at the beginning of creation. Mi'achar ki mitzad etzem habriyah. In the essence of creation itself, it would have been proper for everything to be under God's control. It's not under God's control, but under God's dominion. Everything that God created, He created for His glory. Shne emar, kol hanikra bishmi v'lichvodi nirativ yitzartiv af asitiv. Anything that has my name on it was created for my formed and manifest for my glory. Right, whatever those three words mean on a very spiritual level in other contexts. But the point is, everything that exists in reality is all meant to reflect God's glory, even in the level of that pasuk. V'rotze lomar ki mi'achar shebara Hashem yibarach hakol, that once God created everything, bevadai nivra hakol lichvado, of course everything He created was for His glory. Ki efshar sheyatza davar min ha'echad v'hu kenegdo, it's impossible that something could come forth from me and be against me, come forth from a creator and be against it, come forth from God and be against God. She'im kein iya davar keneged atzmo. It's again, in truth, it's really then coming against itself. Meaning, when I create something, it's an extension of myself. It's an extension of my creative capacity. It's an extension of my creative abilities. It's an extension of my desire. It's an extension of me. Reality is an extension of God's desire, His thoughts, His will of creation. So it should all reflect Him and His oneness. That's what it should be. V'davar ze eino klal. But this is not the case. Everything is created for God's glory. How could it be that the kingdoms are going to come and be mevatel and overturn the glory of God? There's an inherent lacking in creation itself, atzma, that's inherent. This lacking is not from an active act of God and His creative process. It's an essential cause, an essential effect, an essential reaction. Meaning, when something is created, it is inherently lacking. And that inherent lacking, everything that God actively created, is perfect. That which God did not create, that which God left alone, that which is intrinsic to a created thing, and that there's part of it that existed, that there's a time where it came into being, that it was created and required a creator, those parts that are just essentially part of the definition of a created being, that God didn't do actively, And those are lackings. And those lackings are reflected in the Dalet Malchiyot.
I'm assuming it represents like the evil in the world, or the actual physical Dalamah.
They reflect a...
So in other words, he's saying, according to that, anything before from like Adam through the first Golos is the perfect world.
That's why he quoted the Medrash. The Breishit bara Elokim et haShemayim ve'et haAretz va'aretz etzai tov avohu. That's it. Dalet Malchiyot, so right there at the beginning. We got through like one pasuk.
No, but
not like. We actually only got through one pasuk.
That was right? Everything after Golos, everything before Golos is perfect and will be perfect.
No, it means that the imperfection was inside of creation from the very beginning. It might have exploded at a certain point in history. It might have come out at a certain point in history. But what he's saying is no. Those Malchiyot were embedded in creation itself because creation itself had the inherent imperfections of all creation that is not a reflection of the creator, but simply the nature of a created being or a created thing. Shu on it. Till next week.